Volume 50, Number 1, of the New Era magazine for January 2020. Contents: Children and Youth, Elder Garrett W. Gong. Children and Youth, A Focus for Everyday Life. Go and Do, Young Women and Young Men General Presidencies. Unlocking the Power of the Book of Mormon. I Will Go and Do, the 2020 Youth Theme Song. Tools to Go and Do, The First Vision and Me. Gaining a Testimony Around the World. Cover Story, Go and Do, The Journey to Hope. Improvement Now, Perfection Later. The Last Witness of the Three Witnesses. Also inside, Youth Theme Poster, Connect, Fun Stop, Q&A, For the Strength of Youth, Gospel Application, Firm Foundations, and Last Word. End of contents, read by Wes Nelson.
Be Like Nephi, by the Young Men General Presidency. When Nephi said to his father, I will go and do the things which the Lord hath commanded, 1 Nephi 3:7, he provided us an inspiring example of faith and diligent obedience. Nephi's commitment to go and do was rooted in two important qualities all of us can develop: his personal testimony of the Lord and his prophets, and his spiritual resilience. Developing a testimony. Nephi was obedient because he had sought and received his own testimony of the Lord's commandments to his father. See 1 Nephi chapter 2, verses 16 through 20. He knew that the task of getting the brass plates would be hard, but unlike his brothers, he knew that the Lord would be with him and prepare a way for them to accomplish it. This faith in God and his prophet blessed and sustained Nephi throughout his life and helped him accomplish miraculous things. Like Nephi, we can do great things in our lives as we strive to obey the counsel we receive from living prophets, the whisperings of the Holy Ghost, and the Scriptures. For instance, the Lord's prophet today, President Russell M. Nelson, has asked us to help gather Israel and prepare for the Savior's return. As we study God's word and obey it, our faith will grow and we will feel within our hearts a determination to continue to be obedient, even when we know things are hard. Developing spiritual resilience. Nephi's example also teaches us about the Christ-like attribute of resilience, working through challenges rather than looking for an easy way out. There are times in all our lives when we are asked to do difficult and demanding things. In those situations, if we rely on our faith in Christ and choose the harder right instead of the easier wrong, we will be blessed. When you find yourself facing a difficult decision or task, having a go-and-do attitude will help you persist. Faithfully responding to the guidance that you receive shows the Lord that He is able to rely on you and increase your faith in Jesus Christ. As you faithfully work to develop your testimony, spiritual resilience, and a go-and-do attitude, the Lord will bless you, strengthen you, and sustain you this year and throughout your life. End of the article, Be Like Nephi, read by Scott Moore.
Children and Youth, A Focus for Everyday Life, by Heather Bergeson and Amanda Dunn, Church Magazines. How It Works. Children and Youth encourages you to grow spiritually, socially, physically, and intellectually by engaging in gospel learning, service and activities, and personal development. It may have surprised you that the Church and Youth program doesn't include detailed checklists of every goal you should do. You are already doing so many amazing things. Instead, this personalized approach was created to help you come closer to the Savior in ways that are inspired by your individual needs and interests. The main purpose of Children and Youth is to help you strengthen your faith in Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2, verse 52 teaches us that in Jesus Christ's youth, he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He lived a balanced life, and so can you. By focusing on the spiritual, social, physical, and intellectual aspects of your life, you can become more like the Savior. Gospel learning. Just as the Savior increased in wisdom, you can grow in your knowledge and understanding of the gospel. Every gospel principle you learn will help you know how the Savior can strengthen and bless you in all parts of your life. We have so many resources we can use to learn more about gospel principles and become like the Savior. For example, prayer, scripture study, and the Spirit provide the foundation. Your family and church leaders can help you learn more about the Savior. The Come Follow Me curriculum and seminary can help guide your study. As you use your resources to learn about Jesus Christ and His gospel, your relationship with Him will improve. Service and activities. Serving others is one of the main things the Savior did while He was on the earth. By finding simple and natural ways to help those in your family and community, you are following His example and committing to becoming more like Him. Meaningful group activities can help you and other youth find ways to serve others as well as grow spiritually together. Fun, uplifting activities are healthy, and when you gather together as a group of young, faithful Latter-day Saints, you can often learn and accomplish much more than you can on your own. Personal development. Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ care deeply about you and about the person you are becoming. As you make goals to grow into the person Heavenly Father wants you to become, you can come closer to Him and His Son. Everyone is unique, so your goals to personally improve should be tailored to your needs. For example, if you want to learn to play hymns on the piano, you might make a goal to practice daily. If you want to get better at scripture study, you might set a certain time each day to read. Seek the guidance of the Spirit to come up with a plan that will work best for you. Children and youth is for you. The person who most benefits is you. As you set your own goals to study and live the gospel, participate in service and activities, and develop personally, you will learn more about yourself and who you really are. The work of becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ can be challenging, but it is the most rewarding goal we can set for ourselves. Twin sisters put children and youth into action. Youth, just like you, have already started seeing the blessings of striving to become more like Jesus Christ in their everyday lives. Danica and Natasha R., 15, from Ohio, USA, are twin sisters who decided to do just that. Their dad is from Thailand, and because they sometimes visit family there, Danica and Natasha decided they wanted to learn more about Thai food and language. Danica made a goal to learn to cook some Thai soup recipes. She shopped for the ingredients and practiced new cooking techniques with her dad. Natasha wanted to learn to communicate with her family in Thailand, so she set a goal to learn one new Thai word each day. She used a website to aid her language study and practiced pronouncing words with her dad. As Danica and Natasha worked on their goals, they wanted to share what they learned with the other young women in their ward. Their leaders helped them organize an activity to learn more about Thailand. At the activity, Danica cooked soup for everyone, while Natasha taught them some Thai words. The sisters also included their friend Grace in the activity. Grace had a personal goal to get better at public speaking, so she gave a presentation on how to use chopsticks so they could eat their soup. By practicing their goals and working with their leaders and other young women, Danica and Natasha were able to plan a fun night to enjoy with their friends. Blessings of participating in children and youth. Danica and Natasha share that they have received many blessings from striving to learn more about their heritage and celebrating it with their family and other young women. Their experience didn't come without challenges. Natasha explains, "I was in school while I was learning Thai, so it was sometimes hard to find time to do it." Danica adds, "At the activity, I had a little bit of trouble making the soup on my own since my dad wasn't there. But the sisters both agree that in the end, it was worth it." Danica says, I like that I got to spend time with my dad, and it helped me feel closer to my family. She also explains, making and keeping my personal goals helped me come closer to Jesus Christ by giving me a clear path to helping myself and others. Instead of mindlessly milling around like some nights, I had a set standard to follow and keep to, and that gave me more time to think about Christ. Natasha says making and keeping her goal really got me to think deeply about what I needed and wanted to do to become closer to Christ. She also notes that although she has shifted her focus to a new goal, she was inspired to keep learning Thai. My original goal was to learn Thai so I can speak to my family in Thailand. So I want to keep learning Thai so I can talk to them. Danica and Natasha's balanced approach to their personal development helped them learn more about their dad's culture, have fun with friends, and come closer to their family and the Savior. And that's what Children and Youth is all about. Your participation in Children and Youth can also help you build relationships with your family, other youth and ward members, and especially the Savior, as you focus on how to become your best you. Tips for participating in Children and Youth. The best way to approach your growth is to prayerfully personalize your goals so that they work for you, your family, and your circumstances. Here are some tips. 1. Seek personal revelation. Heavenly Father will guide you as you seek and follow inspiration. 2. It's not just at church. You'll get the most out of children and youth if you make plans to improve in all parts of your life, not just at church meetings and activities. 3. Include your family. Family members can help you develop your goals and track your progress. 4. Use and share what you learn. When you share what you are learning with family, friends, and others, you are helping to fulfill the Lord's commandment to spread the gospel and gather scattered Israel. End of the article. Children and Youth, A Focus for Every Day, by Heather Bergeson and Amanda Dunn, read by Jane Wise.
Go and Do. Act in Faith by the Young Women General Presidency. Our theme this year is centered on the words go and do, a bold declaration given by the faithful Book of Mormon prophet Nephi in 1 Nephi chapter 3, verse 7. But perhaps the most comforting part of this verse comes when Nephi teaches that the Lord will always prepare a way for his work to be accomplished. The belief that God will prepare the way before you comes from a place of profound faith. Nephi knew that if God asked him to do something, God would always help him to accomplish the task. And we know that because of Nephi's faith and confidence in the Lord, he was able to successfully retrieve the brass plates. Like Nephi, we can have the faith to go and do. You may not always understand the why behind instructions from church leaders or parents or even promptings from the Holy Ghost. It won't always make sense, or it may even seem like it's impossible to accomplish. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. As you step forward with faith, you will find that God always has a reason and a plan. God will never ask you to do something that He knows you cannot do. He will never simply set you up to fail. But He may ask you to do something that requires strong faith and reliance on the Spirit for guidance. The key to acquiring the faith to go and do is developing confidence. When you have confidence in the Lord, you trust that He will make you equal to every task. Think about it. You were sent to the earth at this time because you are ready and capable to do the Lord's work here and now. You have been chosen to live at this time because the Lord trusts you. The blessings you receive for acting with faith and confidence are incredible. You will come to know your identity and purpose in a greater and more focused perspective. You will increase your trust in Jesus Christ and His atonement, and you will know that, with the Lord's help, you are enough. End of the article, Act in Faith, read by Shauna Thompson.
Come Follow Me, Unlocking the Power of the Book of Mormon, by Simone Ann Park Baldwin. While on my mission in the Philippines, my companion and I taught a particularly powerful lesson about the importance of studying the Book of Mormon daily. At the end of the lesson, my companion bore one of the most powerful testimonies of scripture study that I had ever heard. She testified that reading the Book of Mormon added a new power into her life that was impossible to explain. It was obvious that her experience with the Book of Mormon had changed her life, and I wanted that for myself. I decided that night that I would read the Book of Mormon again, from the beginning. I spent a lot of time on my knees explaining to God that I wanted to experience the conversion and power that comes from the Holy Ghost. The answer I received was, read, just read. So that's what I did. I threw myself into reading with a new vigor. I paid special attention to each verse, chapter, and page. As I read, I found verses that answered my questions, soothed my worries, and helped lift the burdens of those I was teaching. After about a month, I realized that something inside of me was changing. My capacity to love others increased. I had more hope in the future. I was able to work harder and longer each day. I was more focused on the work, and I started to feel so much joy. One day in my studies, I came across a quote from President Ezra Taft Benson, former president of the church. There is a power in the Book of Mormon which will begin to flow into your lives the moment you begin a serious study of the book. When you begin to hunger and thirst after those words, you will find life in greater and greater abundance. As I continued to study, I began to really understand what he meant. I was finding life in greater abundance. Looking back, I am convinced that one of the reasons I was put with that companion was so I could be there that night to hear her testimony. I felt like all the good parts of life, love, hope, trust, hard work, determination, and joy, were amplified. There was a new light in my life, and I knew that it was real. The author lives in Arizona, USA. How can you unlock the power of the Book of Mormon in your life? 1. Read daily. 2. Study by topic. 3. Use the study manual. 4. Discuss with others. I promise that as you prayerfully study the Book of Mormon every day, you will make better decisions every day. End of the article, Unlocking the Power of the Book of Mormon, read by Salem Tullis.
The First Vision and Me. There are so many conflicting voices and opinions in the world today. Because of that, you might feel nervous that you'll be mocked for sharing your beliefs, or sometimes you might not know what to believe at all. So when the voices around you become a war of words and tumults of opinions, who do you listen to? In 1820, Joseph Smith had sincere questions about religion and his salvation. What is to be done? Who of all these parties are right? Are they all wrong together? How shall I know? He attended many different churches to try to answer his questions, but ultimately he chose to go to the source of all truth, God. Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ appeared to Joseph and told him that he shouldn't join any of the churches. His family supported him, but when he shared this experience with other people he thought would support him, he was viciously attacked. He said he was persecuted by those who ought to have been his friends and to have treated him kindly, and hated for sharing his vision. 2 centuries after that vision, we still face some of the same trials Joseph did. Below, 4 youth share how Joseph's example of seeking God's voice and staying true to what he learned helps them with the challenges they face. Joseph Smith was about my age. And he was confused, says TJC, 15, from Washington, USA. People were having these different opinions around him, like they are today, but he went to prayer instead of other people. Going to family members is good, but just that one-on-one connection with Heavenly Father is very important. And through that, he restored the Church of Jesus Christ to the earth which was big for people all around the world. Probably nothing that big will happen to us, but just helping others and receiving revelation for ourselves in our lives is a good thing. Act in faith. It is the actions of your faith that will lead to answers and guidance. Luisa B., 15, from Brazil, says, "Sometimes we worry about daily situations where we don't know what to do if our decisions will be successful. I try to be like Joseph Smith and turn to Heavenly Father so that I can feel the Spirit and it can show me what choices the Lord wants me to make." Joseph didn't know what would happen or how his actions would benefit him, but he always spoke to the Lord with great faith, doing what he desired. God expects us to act in faith. That means that when we feel the promptings of the Spirit, we need to immediately act on those feelings that come to us through Him. Standing strong. Confiding in a Methodist preacher, Joseph shared his vision. To his surprise, the preacher didn't seem to take him seriously and said that it was all of the devil, that there were no such things as visions or revelations in these days. Even right after he got the first vision, people didn't believe him and they persecuted him, says Rachel P., 17, from Canada. Even though the hard stuff we go through today might not be getting tarred and feathered or anything like that, it's still really hard to us. But he went through all that hard stuff and still stood strong with his testimony. And so can we. Not alone. Do you ever feel mocked? Eliza H., 16, from Guatemala, relates to Joseph because she is the only member in her school. It was him. He was being mocked. He was the only one who believed what he believed. Being in a school where only my family are members, it's kind of relatable because people will mock me, even just subtly. And I think if Joseph Smith was persecuted when he was young, then I can get through it too. End of the article, The First Vision and Me, read by Holly Anderson.
Gaining a Testimony Around the World by Wilmer Amaya Munoz. My name is Wilmer Amaya. I am 13 years old, and I was born in Spain. I lived there for 8 years, and I remember we didn't go to church a lot. I wasn't baptized in the church, but I really wanted to be. One day, I asked my parents why we weren't going to church anymore and why I wasn't baptized. As I explained to them my desire to be baptized, it touched their hearts, and we started going to church again. It felt good. Because my mom was the only member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in her family, she was such an example and an inspiration to me. Later on, we moved to Venezuela, where my dad is from. I lived there for 2 years, and we faced a lot of challenges. But they were good things, too. I loved the food, and I had family there who were anxious to meet and talk to me. They were such humble people, and we all went to church together and felt the Spirit. But even though we were going to church and I could feel the Spirit, I knew my family and I were missing something. One Sunday morning, the bishop invited everyone in the congregation to read the Book of Mormon before the end of the year. I knew this would help my parents and me more fully live the gospel of the Lord. Little by little, as we read the Book of Mormon, the Savior started giving us more knowledge and blessings, and we continued to read the scriptures regularly. Soon, I got baptized. I could really feel the Spirit in my life, and my parents did too. My testimony started growing more. We moved to Orlando, Florida, and we had to make a lot of changes and sacrifices again, just like when we left for Spain. But our testimonies were growing stronger and stronger every time we went to church. We went to church every week and kept reading the scriptures. After a lot of effort and a lot of reading the scriptures, praying, and choosing the right, we wanted to get sealed as an eternal family. We talked to our bishop, and even though it took some time, the day finally arrived. We were so anxious to go inside the temple. I got to do baptisms for the dead while I waited for my parents to complete temple work for themselves. I felt like I was getting baptized again. I was really happy I could go help people beyond the veil. Now, my family and I go to the temple every week. I regularly do baptisms for the dead because I love helping there. I am so glad I got to be sealed in the temple with my parents for eternity and have the opportunity to live forever with them. The author lives in Florida, USA. End of Gaining a Testimony Around the World, read by Enzo Patello.
Go and Do, The Journey to Hope, by Amanda Dunn, Church Magazines. Four youth from New Zealand in the 2020 youth theme video decided to go and do, even when they faced trials. We all go through tough times. Even Nephi, a strong and stalwart prophet, faced challenges in his youth. He dealt with personal struggles, trials within his family, and feelings of unworthiness. Despite his challenges, though, Nephi trusted God to prepare a way for him to go and do the things which the Lord hath commanded. This year's youth theme and video are inspired by Nephi's testimony and focus on how we, too, can go and do the things God asks of us, even during hard times. We asked four youth from New Zealand who participated in the youth video to share how they personally found ways to come closer to God during their trials. Their stories can help us see that even when we feel lost or stuck, there is a door to hope. We just need to look for it. Zion, age 19. Family faith. When Zion's parents got married, his mom was a member of the church, but his dad wasn't. After several years, his dad still hadn't been baptized. Zion's siblings also struggled with their faith, and even Zion sometimes felt overwhelmed trying to do what the Lord asked. But he knew that no matter what, God loved them and could help them. He has an eternal love for us, Zion says, and that love will never fade. No matter what we do, we can always come back to it. No matter how far we fall, we can always rise back up. What did Zion go and do? Zion decided that even though his family was struggling with their testimonies, he could strengthen his own. One way he did that was by determining to serve a mission when he's old enough. Ever since it first clicked that I could someday serve a mission, Zion says, I've seen so clearly how he has lined things up to help me prepare to serve. Since making that decision, Zion began to see how the Lord was preparing not only him, but also his family to receive great blessings. His dad finally decided to get baptized. Later, Zion was sealed to his parents. His older siblings even started coming back to church. Zion says he learned an important lesson. Even if we don't see it, even if we don't fully understand it, the Lord is always preparing us to do as he commands and to receive all that he can give us. Melissa, age 15. A balancing act. Melissa sometimes has a hard time making decisions and figuring out what she wants to do in the future. I have a lot of responsibilities and it's hard to balance life and church and school, she says. It can be hard to know which way to go and how to make it all work. But even though life can be busy, Melissa says, I've learned that I just need to make sure that I always think about God first. What did Melissa go and do? Melissa determined that to put God first, she should make her prayer and scripture study more effective. She would read a verse of scriptures, pray about it, and then write down her impressions. As she's practiced this strategy, Melissa says she started to understand the meanings of each verse better. It becomes clearer how I can apply it to my life. She's also received blessings that help her manage her priorities and make good decisions. When I communicate with God more often and try to involve Him in my life as much as possible, all of my other activities fall into place and life seems a lot easier. Theo, age 19. Dad's diagnosis. Theo's dad is diabetic and has relied on a dialysis machine, a machine that cleans blood for those who have damaged kidneys, for the past 18 years. Growing up, it was hard for Theo to think of what the future might hold for his dad. When I was just starting high school, his health declined to the point where losing him became a very real possibility, Theo says. There was no stopping the fear and sadness of knowing that could happen. On top of this trial, Theo didn't feel worthy enough to pray. Church just wasn't as important to me as it should be, he says. I didn't think I was in the right mindset. But when the day came that Theo thought his dad was ready to go, Theo felt a clear prompting that he needed to turn to God. What did Theo go and do? On the day he thought his father would die, Theo decided to get on his knees and pray. I began that prayer not expecting a response, but instantly I felt comfort and strength. Today, Theo's dad is still alive and defying all medical odds. Theo recognizes how big of a miracle that is, especially since a lot of people don't survive illnesses like these. Most of all, he's grateful he felt God's love. Heavenly Father and the Savior are so generous. I prayed with such a tiny seed of faith, and still I felt their love. Huia, age 17. A mission decision. Huia faced uncertainty when she received a prompting she didn't expect. She shares, "When I was at a youth conference, I felt the strongest impression that I needed to serve a mission. My whole life I didn't want to, like really didn't want to. I was happy for my two brothers to go on missions, but it was not for me. I don't deny it. I've tried to make other plans for myself, but in the back of my head I always think, I should really do what he tells me to do." What did Huia go and do? With time, Huia decided to do the Lord's will and prepare for a mission. I'm doing my best to prepare for that day because I know that the Lord never asks us to do something that won't help us in the end. While preparing to serve a mission, Huia has seen the blessings of her obedience. I can already see little ways the Lord is preparing the way for me to accomplish the things He's asked me to do. I don't always know exactly what will happen when I follow His guidance, but I know that there is always going to be a bright place afterward. End of the article. Go and Do, The Journey to Hope. Read by Scott Christopher.
The Door to Hope. What does the door in the youth theme video represent to you? The door can symbolize many things that bring hope. Here's what each of the youth from the video felt the door represented. Zion.
The Savior. Ever since I first saw His hand in my life, I knew in my heart that He was real and that He was a true symbol of hope. I know that with Him we can truly go back to Him and live in the celestial kingdom.
Huia.
The door could be the scriptures, it could be a prayer, it could be hymns. I think the door is anything that brings you closer to God. The door to God is always there, and it's always unlocked.
Theo.
I have realized that, for me, the door represents Jesus Christ. When I saw that door there for me, I kept visualizing the Savior standing there.
Melissa.
To me, the door in the video is revelation, when the Spirit confirms to you that you are doing what you were supposed to be doing. So what do you think? What does the door in the video represent for you?
End of the article, The Door to Hope. Read by Wes Nelson, Scott Moore, Tess Hawkins, Noah Strongen, and Salem Tolis.
Improvement Now, Perfection Later. By David Dixon, Church Magazines. When it comes to goal setting, feel free to take a deep breath. You're still a work in progress. This year, I resolved to eat my favorite candy at least once a week and to binge watch entire TV series no longer than 5 days after they're released. Do those sound like New Year's resolutions you'd feel confident you could achieve? Perhaps, but they're also not exactly the kinds of goals that help you grow. Goals can be tricky. For some, goal setting is a rewarding process that leads to positive change. For others, the act becomes a guilt trip around the 1st of February, if not sooner, as lofty New Year's resolutions aren't close to being on track. And for still others, the notion of creating goals at all, in January or any other time, is enough to send them scrambling for cover. Why is it that goal setting can be motivating for some, but feel hard or scary for others? With the Children and Youth program launching this month in the church, it's worth taking a fresh look at how to pursue personal improvement in a way that doesn't include getting ulcers or anorexia, feeling depressed, or demolishing our self-esteem, as Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles has taught. Take the time. If you need a recipe for anything from triple chocolate cookies to broccoli ice cream, yep, it exists. You can find one in seconds with a phone or computer. But how long does it take to replace a quick temper with Christ-like patience? How long to master a musical instrument or learn a language? To train for a long-distance hike or bike ride? How long to finally forgive someone who's hurt you or to forgive yourself? In a day of instant answers to many questions, it can be hard to accept that certain things take more time to unfold. In some cases, a lifetime. So, for starters, when you look at improving your life in any meaningful way, please give yourself some real time to get there. Hitting the gas too quickly often ends in discouragement. A little better each day. Another trap we can each fall into is the tendency to try and take on too much at once. There's nothing wrong with setting your sights high, but should your very first running event really be a marathon? Very likely not. You'll most often have better results by first training for a 5K, then a 10K, and so forth. The same approach works with spiritual goals. You can choose to work at gradual, consistent gains in anything, from temple attendance to understanding Isaiah. Along the way, remember to be patient with yourself. As you pray for guidance and follow promptings from the Spirit, Heavenly Father will help you know what the next steps need to be in your progression. President Russell M. Nelson has taught, "Let us do the best we can and try to improve each day. When our imperfections appear, we can keep trying to correct them. We can be more forgiving of flaws in ourselves and among those we love." As another consideration, gradual improvement in the right direction is infinitely better than any speed in the wrong direction. You do you. Whatever your goals, they should only reflect your hopes for a better you, not a better version of you as compared to someone else. For example, striving to raise your grade point average is a great goal, but trying to raise it so that it's higher than your sister's? Not a great goal. In fact, not even a good goal. Comparisons are often a recipe for misery. This trap of comparing yourself to others in goal setting can creep into matters that aren't as obviously competitive, such as the goal to make a varsity sports team. Think about that for a second. In order to make varsity, don't you have to play better than all the other people who tried and didn't make it? Ultimately, you have no control over how prepared or skilled the others might be. This distinction might seem subtle, yet it's important. It's healthier to set goals that reflect your own improvements independent of anybody else. So, while the prize you hope for might still be to make varsity, the actual goals you set become things like choosing how many hours to practice, or aiming to increase your free throw percentage, or deciding what to start and stop eating or drinking to give your body the best chance to stay strong and healthy. If you later do make the team, fantastic. If not, however, you can still hold your head high. You met your goals of giving yourself the best possible chance. All you can do is your very best. Let that be what you strive for. Give yourself permission to leave everybody else's best out of your focus. Stay optimistic. No matter how achievable your goals are, odds are that you'll almost certainly experience setbacks. Welcome to the human family. However, during such setbacks, the adversary tries hard to get you to quit. But that's not for you. get back up, dust yourself off, and try again. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland has taught, as children of God, we should not demean or vilify ourselves, as if beating up on ourselves is somehow going to make us the person God wants us to become. My brothers and sisters, except for Jesus, there have been no flawless performances on this earthly journey we are pursuing. So, while in mortality, let's strive for steady improvement without obsessing over what behavioral scientists call toxic perfectionism. In other words, keep at it. Keep involving God in your journey. If you do, you're bound to find a new and improved you down the road. Your main job is to keep your feet moving so that He can guide your steps accordingly. End of the article, Improvement Now, Perfection Later, by David Dixon, Church Magazines. Read by Van Farnworth.
The Last Witness of the Three Witnesses by Michael R. Morris, Church Magazines. Not one of the three witnesses ever denied his testimony of the Book of Mormon. If you were breathing your last breath and were about to pass through the veil, what would your last words be to those you were leaving behind? If you were comedian Groucho Marx, you might say something funny like, "This is no way to live." If you were multimillionaire Richard B. Mellon, who played a 70-year game of tag with his brother, you might call your brother to your deathbed, touch him, and say, "Last tag." If you were President Brigham Young, you might utter the name of your beloved friend and mentor, the prophet of the Restoration, Joseph, Joseph, Joseph. What if you were one of the three witnesses to the Book of Mormon? Would you bear witness yet again that you heard the voice of God and that an angel laid the plates, the liahona, the sword of Laban, and the Urim and Thummim before your eyes? Would you stand by your testimony one last time, even if you had been excommunicated from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? You would, because they did. Oliver Cowdery. Oliver Cowdery, like the other two witnesses, was excommunicated from the church in the late 1830s after becoming estranged from the prophet Joseph Smith. He spent 10 years out of the church before humbling himself, admitting his errors, and asking to be rebaptized in 1848, just 16 months before his death on March 3, 1850. As Oliver sought rebaptism, he bore testimony in the most positive terms to the truth of the Book of Mormon, the restoration of the priesthood to the earth, and mission of Joseph Smith as the prophet of the last days. A few months before his death in Richmond, Missouri, Oliver told his old friend, Jacob Gates, "I want you to remember what I say to you. I am a dying man, and what would it profit one to tell you a lie? I know that this Book of Mormon was translated by the gift and power of God. My eyes saw, my ears heard, and my understanding was touched, and I know that whereof I testified is true. It was no dream, no vain imagination of the mind. It was real." Years after Oliver's death, his wife, Elizabeth, described his lasting testimony in a letter to her brother, David Whitmer. "From the hour when the glorious vision of the Holy Messenger revealed to mortal eyes the hidden prophecies which God had promised his faithful followers should come forth in due time, until the moment when he passed away from earth, Oliver, always without one doubt or shadow of turning, affirmed the divinity and truth of the Book of Mormon." David already knew that. 37 years earlier, joined by two of the eight witnesses, John Whitmer and Hiram Page, and other family members and friends, he had heard Oliver declare his final testimony. "I was present at the deathbed of Oliver Cowdery," he said, and his last words were, "Brother David, be true to your testimony to the Book of Mormon." David Whitmer.
David Whitmer lived outside the church for 50 years following his excommunication, never to return, but never to deny his testimony. As the last surviving witness, he was often interviewed and often misquoted. To one man who claimed that David had recanted his testimony, he declared, "That he may understand me now, if he did not then, and that the world may know the truth, I wish now, standing as it were, in the very sunset of life, and in the fear of God, once and for all, to make this public statement, that I have never at any time denied that testimony or any part thereof, which has so long since been published with that book as one of the three witnesses." A year before his death in Richmond, Missouri, David responded to two encyclopedias that claimed he and the other witnesses had denied their testimonies of the Book of Mormon. He declared, "I will say once more to all mankind that I have never at any time denied that testimony or any part thereof. I also testify to the world that neither Oliver Cowdery or Martin Harris ever at any time denied their testimony. They both died affirming the truth of the divine authenticity of the Book of Mormon." 3 days before David died, on January 25, 1888, he called his family and his doctor to his bedside. "Doctor, do you consider that I am in my right mind?" he asked. His doctor replied, "Yes, you are in your right mind." Then David turned to his family and said, "I want to give my dying testimony. You must be faithful in Christ. I want to say to you all that the Bible and the record of the Nephites, the Book of Mormon, are true, so you can say that you have heard me bear my testimony on my deathbed." Martin Harris. Martin, who mortgaged and later lost his farm to finance the publication of the Book of Mormon, was rebaptized in 1842 in Kirtland, Ohio. He didn't move to Utah, however, until 1870. During the final 5 years of his life, Martin had ample opportunities to share his witness with the saints. During the last year of his life, he testified, "I tell you of these things that you may tell others that what I have said is true, and I dare not deny it. I heard the voice of God commanding me to testify to the same." George Godfrey, a longtime acquaintance, sat up with Martin for many nights while he battled the illness that eventually claimed his life on July 10, 1875, in Clarkston, Utah. Just a few hours before Martin's death, Godfrey said, "I asked him if he did not feel that there was an element, at least, of fraudulence and deception in the things that were written and told of the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. And he replied, as he had always done, so many, many times in my hearing, and with the same spirit he always manifested when enjoying health and vigor." Martin then declared, "The Book of Mormon is no fake. I know what I know. I have seen what I have seen, and I have heard what I have heard. I have seen the gold plates from which the Book of Mormon is written. An angel appeared to me and others and testified to the truthfulness of the record. And had I been willing to have perjured myself and sworn falsely to the testimony I now bear, I could have been a rich man. But I could not have testified other than I have done and am now doing. For these things are true." You can be a witness too. The testimony of the three witnesses to the Book of Mormon stands forth in great strength. President Dallin H. Oaks, first counselor in the first presidency, has said, "Each of the three had ample reason and opportunity to renounce his testimony if it had been false, or to equivocate on details if any had been inaccurate. Yet to the end of their lives, periods ranging from 12 to 50 years after their excommunications, not one of these witnesses deviated from his published testimony or said anything that cast any shadow on its truthfulness. Today, it's your turn. As surely as God sent the angel Moroni to Oliver Cowdery, David Whitmer, and Martin Harris. He will manifest to you the truth of their testimony and the truthfulness of the Book of Mormon through the power of the Holy Ghost. See Moroni, chapter 10, verses 4 through 5. If you are open to investigation and conviction, David Whitmer said, "I pray you to read the Book of Mormon with a prayerful heart. The book carries conviction with it." Sidebar: The Testimony of Three. When the angel Moroni showed the plates to the three witnesses, he fulfilled prophecy uttered at both the beginning and the end of the Book of Mormon. Nephi stated that none shall behold it, save it be that three witnesses shall behold it by the power of God, and they shall testify to the truth of the book and the things therein. 2 Nephi chapter 27, verse 12. Hundreds of years later, Moroni prophesied, "And in the mouth of three witnesses shall these things be established, and the testimony of three and this work shall stand as a testimony against the world at the last day." Ether chapter 5, verse 4. End of the article. The Last Witness of the Three Witnesses. Read by Kristen Hawkins.
Q&A. Find answers to your questions. If Heavenly Father has so many children, how can I know that He loves me? Note, responses are intended for help and perspective, not as official pronouncements of church doctrine. Pray in the name of Jesus Christ about your concerns, your fears, your weaknesses, yes, the very longing of your heart, and then listen. Write the thoughts that come to your mind. Record your feelings and follow through with actions that you are prompted to take. Does God really want to speak to you? Yes. President Russell M. Nelson, April 2018 General Conference, and Zynor Liahona, May 2018, page 95.
Pray for strength. I choose to remember and believe that Heavenly Father wants me to be happy. I have been blessed with consistent reminders from the Holy Ghost that God asks me to do some things for my own happiness and progression. He really knows what's best for me. Matthew M. 16, Arizona, USA.
Look at the beauty of the earth. I look at nature and remember He created this earth for me. Tori B., 16, Ohio, USA.
I feel love through music. Through music, I feel a special spirit, and I feel His love for me and all of His children. I like to listen to piano arrangements of hymns and other spiritual music. But when I share my gifts of playing the piano and singing with others, especially in spiritual circumstances, like singing in my ward choir or playing hymns in seminary, I can feel the Spirit and my testimony is strengthened. Jarek M., age 15, Utah, USA.
Messages from the Prophets. Through General Conference talks and quotes, my questions and prayers are answered. He knows what I need. Megan G., 14, Nevada, USA.
Recognize personalized blessings. It helps me when I recognize personalized blessings only someone who knows me could give me. Joshua K., age 18, Georgia, USA.
What is the church's stance on feminism? First, some basics. We are children of heavenly parents. Gender is an important part of who we are, both before, during, and after this life. Men and women are equal. One is not superior to the other. They are also different, with different roles within a family. Both men and women fulfill their highest purpose together, as husband and wife, not separately. Now, feminism can mean different things to different people. Sometimes it refers to efforts to ensure basic human rights and basic fairness for women, as well as efforts to encourage women to obtain an education, develop their talents, and serve humankind in any field they choose. Latter-day Saints support these things. However, sometimes certain philosophies and social movements bearing the feminism label advocate extreme ideas that are not in harmony with the teachings of the gospel. These can lead people to become distracted from or even work against the ideals of marriage and family. Latter-day Saints frown upon such things. By that same token, we also frown upon extremes such as male chauvinism, sexism, machismo, or any other cultural influence that would cause men to think and act in ways that are not in harmony with gospel teachings of respect, love, modesty, chastity, equality, and family responsibilities. Tell us what you think. All my friends play teen-rated video games, but I choose not to. Are teen-rated games okay? Send your answer and photo by February 15th, 2020.
End of Q&A.
Snoozing Through the Sabbath, written by Amanda Dunn and illustrated by Lance Fry. Saturday night. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, and Brandon is sitting in front of the TV playing video games and eating snacks. In the morning, Brandon's alarm clock goes off at 8.
I need to get ready for church, but I'm so tired.
Exhausted, Brandon hits the snooze button and goes back to sleep. What seems like seconds later, Brandon's alarm clock goes off again. But this time...
Oh no! Only 5 minutes till church starts!
He jumps up, gets ready as fast as he can, and runs out the door while still tying his tie.
I wish church wasn't so early.
At church, Brandon's parents need to wake him up to take the sacrament. His teacher needs to do the same thing during Sunday school.
Brandon, can you read verse 5? Hello? Brandon?
Yeah.
When Brandon opens his scriptures, he sees an image of the Savior and has a sudden realization. Next Sunday morning, Brandon wakes up refreshed and ready to go right at 8 a.m.
I'm so glad I went to bed early so I'll be ready for church. Honoring the Sabbath day includes attending all your church meetings. Go to sacrament meeting prepared to worship the Lord and partake worthily of the sacrament. For the Strength of Youth, 2011, page 30. End of the comic, Snoozing Through the Sabbath, read by Scott Christopher, Ethan Nelson, and Shauna Thompson.
Gospel application. Church apps for you. Gospel Living app. Do you want to study the gospel, serve others, and grow in meaningful ways? The new Gospel Living app is for you. Check out some of its cool features. Discover. The Discover feed is updated regularly with inspiring articles, videos, audio, and images. It will include links to current Come Follow Me lessons to support your gospel study, and you can explore ideas for service and activities as well as personal development. Today. The Today feature shows what you would like to work on as well as your upcoming activities. You can create new activities, see reminders, and check your progress on your goals. New entry. Write your thoughts and impressions, save your photos, and create and set reminders for your goals. My Life. The My Life feature is a dashboard for your content within the app. You can see and organize your thoughts and impressions, photos, and goals all in one place. Circles. The Circles feature connects you with family, classes, quorums, and others who serve with you in the church. You can have conversations about what you're learning, share progress, and encourage and support each other. Plus, you can share inspirational articles, images, videos, and service and activity ideas. End of the article, Gospel Living App, read by Amelie Strongen.
Firm Foundations, Testimony Building Stories. Stronger than the bullies. Going to high school for the first time was so intimidating. No one else in my school was a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and a lot of my classmates' standards were different from mine. I wanted to make friends without having to lower my own standards, but that can be hard when you're living in a country where it's uncommon to have faith. I stood out in my school. I didn't drink alcohol or coffee and didn't join the smokers during lunch breaks. I was bullied by a lot of my classmates. Sometimes my personal items like my phone or bike keys would be stolen and thrown in the trash or hidden somewhere in the school. I didn't know what to do. I felt beaten, broken, and worthless. But things began to change when I decided I would always pray on my knees before going to sleep and pour my heart out to Heavenly Father. I did this for many, many nights. The answer to my prayer didn't come immediately, but over time, I became stronger mentally.
The bullying never really stopped, but it didn't affect me the same way as before. I felt Heavenly Father's love for me and knew that He was listening to my prayers. I could feel His arms around me, protecting me. Rosa Lynn, R., Netherlands. It is natural to fear what others might think or say. As we make Christ the center of our lives, our fears will be replaced by the courage of our convictions. President Thomas S. Monson, Be an Example and a Light, October 2015 General Conference. How can I respond when someone makes fun of me for my beliefs? If it's your friends making fun of you, kindly ask them to stop. If they're true friends, they will. Pray for the Spirit to guide you in what you do and say. Don't be ashamed or embarrassed of what you believe. Determine to stand as a witness of Jesus Christ. Remember that God loves you and will bless you for living the gospel, no matter how others treat you.
Is anyone in this class a Mormon? I joined the church when I was 16. Soon after, I became seriously ill and missed a month of school. While I was sick, I decided to catch up on school assignments and read my history textbook. I was so excited when I saw there was a whole chapter on the Latter-day Saint contribution to the westward expansion of the United States. But as I read, my heart sank. The history of my new church was twisted and ugly according to the textbook. How was I ever going to be tested on these falsehoods? I finally went back to school, even though I still felt weak. Towards the end of my history class, my teacher suddenly stopped and asked, "Is anyone in this class a Mormon?" The world seemed to stop. My heart pounded. I raised my hand and proclaimed to the entire class that I was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. "So, Wendy, have you read a chapter about the Mormons?" the teacher asked. I told him I had. "Is it accurate?" I said it was not. "We're not going to discuss this chapter in class," he said. "Every Mormon student I've ever had has said the textbook is incorrect." He then suggested that if anyone wanted to know the true history of the church, they could ask me. Although I may have been weak physically, with the support and guidance of the Holy Ghost, I was stronger than I ever imagined I could be. Wendy Z., California, USA.
Baptizing my brother in the temple. Recently, I turned 16 and was ordained a priest by my grandpa. A few days later, I went to the temple with my brother and the other youth in our ward to help officiate in baptisms for the dead. Every experience that I've had at the temple has been spiritual, but I felt like this time was different. As soon as I walked onto the temple grounds, I could feel my heart beat a little faster in anticipation of this new experience being able to perform baptisms. I felt like any worries that I had were left outside the temple doors. I really felt peace inside the temple. I felt clean and pure. The Spirit was incredibly strong the entire time. I knew my testimony was growing and I was coming closer to Jesus Christ. When I baptized my brother, I knew that both of our testimonies were being strengthened. It makes me happy to know that the Lord has trusted us as youth to assist those who have passed on in preparing to enter the kingdom of God. Kiefer C., Utah, USA.
End of Firm Foundations. Read by Tess Hawkins, L. Anderson, and Noah Strongen.
Go and Do with Trust in God. By President Henry B. Eyring, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. From an October 2010 General Conference Address. The Young Nephi in the Book of Mormon stirs in us a desire to develop trust in the Lord, to obey His commandments. Nephi faced danger and possible death when he said these words of trust that we can and must feel steadily in our hearts. "I will go and do the things which the Lord hath commanded, for I know that the Lord giveth no commandments unto the children of men, save He shall prepare a way for them, that they may accomplish the thing which He commandeth them." 1 Nephi chapter 3, verse 7. That trust comes from knowing God. More than any other people on earth, we have, through the glorious events of the restoration of the gospel, felt gratitude for what God has revealed about Himself that we might trust Him. For me, it began in 1820 with a young boy in a grove of trees on a farm in the state of New York. The boy, Joseph Smith Jr., walked to a secluded spot and knelt to pray with complete trust that God would answer. Each time I read his account, my trust in God and his servants expands. I saw a pillar of light exactly over my head, above the brightness of the sun, which descended gradually until it fell upon me. When the light rested upon me, I saw two personages whose brightness and glory defied all description, standing above me in the air. One of them spake unto me, calling me by name, and said, pointing to the other, "This is my beloved son. Hear him." Joseph Smith History 1, verses 16 and 17. The Father revealed to us that he lives, that Jesus Christ is his beloved son, and that he loved us enough to send his son to save us. And because I have a testimony that he called that boy as a prophet, I trust his apostles and prophets today and those they call to serve God. You show your trust in God when you listen with the intent to learn and repent, and then you go and do whatever he asks. If you trust God enough to listen for his messages of encouragement, correction, and direction from his servants, you will find them. And if you then go and do what he would have you do, your power to trust him will grow, and in time you will be overwhelmed with gratitude to find that he has come to trust you. End of the article, Go and Do with Trust in God, read by Dwayne Case.